Hello and welcome back to Musings on 39. Euros has come, Euros has gone. It did not come home. The Italians ended up winning the tournament. And as always, I'm joined by my fellow co-host, Tubbs, Cameron. What's up, chaps?
Evening. How are we?
Yeah, what's up, boys? You had to bring up the Euros again. Come on, dude.
Yeah, it's Olympic season. Let's conclude it. Let's say, okay, it is over. It's done. It did not come home. If we looked like idiots on our previous podcast, so be it.
Yeah, I personally as well needed a little bit of a break, especially after going around town saying it's coming home, and eventually it went to Rome. But no, congratulations to the Italians. They showed their quality. Players like Chiesa, Jorginho, and especially Donnarumma definitely deserve to be, you know, in a team of the season or whatever. But
The best team won the tournament.
Definitely. Then you also can't forget the brilliant performances by the likes of Sterling, Maguire, Luke Shaw, just to name a few.
Yeah, look, England impressed with their negative system. It's not an issue. But yeah, so I said Euros have come, Euros has gone.
Closing thoughts from you regarding the Euros?
Ach, bro, you know, the lads tried their best. And at the end of the day, you know, there was some young chaps that stood up and decided to put themselves in the spotlight. And yeah, it didn't come off, but there's always the World Cup next year.
Well, there we go.
Thank you to Rashford, Sancho and Saka for trying.
Yeah, I mean, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt.
So yeah, that is how we conclude Euro. But chaps, I've got an interesting conversation to bring up today. And it's about things that irritate you or infuriate you. And I'll quickly tell you guys why I came across this. Because, look, I'm not a morning person. I can stay awake the whole evening, but I've tried to fix my sleep pattern multiple times and it works well. And then there comes a time where it doesn't work. But long story short, things that's been irritating me the last week is that I tend to get into a shower quite early in the morning, every morning. And for some reason, if one were to flush a toilet or someone else in the house were to be maybe using washing dishes or maybe using water in other place of the house, suddenly the water just stops in the shower to a degree where it's nearly where you can't really shower anymore, or it's really uncomfortable. And just it's irritated me so much. And then suddenly the water will just come out at like 3,000, hitting your back after you've kind of already set it on the current pressure you have. So it's such a small thing that irritated me so much. And I just thought, I wonder if some other people in life also have these things. Because I see myself as oak that doesn't really get upset about things. I'm very chilled, laid back, see how things work out. And this small thing really just got me going. So I was like, yo, let me hear from you chaps. Is there something maybe in particular that really gets you going? And it's so stupid, but it gets you going.
Sure, where do I begin? For me, something that really gets me going is people not using indicators. And it's nothing worse when you're driving behind someone and you think they're going to go one way, and then they don't. And you've waited all that time waiting for them to indicate or not. And yeah, it's just very infuriating.
Would you say you've got some road rage then?
Oh, 110%, yes.
Oh, is it? So you're one of those guys?
Yeah. You know, we live in South Africa, mate. I mean, it's not necessarily like we have many drivers obeying the rules of the road. So, yeah, it can become quite comical at times.
And that's the thing that really gets your gears going, and it's actually stupid.
There are some other things like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I have like minor OCD, but when people don't put shit back in this place it's meant to be, my word, yo, that does my head in.
God. Okay, I get what you mean there.
my girlfriend also has to a high, I think higher degree than you do, because the clothes has to be hanged in like whites.
I'm not green. That bad, bro. I just separate shorts and longs. So
yeah, that's fine.
All
that's
my like warm stuff to the left, all my short stuff to the right. But putting stuff back where they belong, like that is, you know, if you took it from the right place, why can't you put it back in the right place? It's not that hard.
I've just been also kind of frustrated about a lot of things, but I've kind of come to grips with the fact that these small things that irritate me, these small nuisances just really won't get me anywhere. I'm realizing that, you know, everyone has their little quirks and little things that they do. Not everyone's going to think the same way as you do. So, like, I'm just trying to practice and keep in mind that, you know, you need to be, you know, accepting of everyone's shortcomings and things like that.
Oh, that's true.
I agree. Very positive.
Yeah,
Sorry, Cam,
for interrupting you there. But look, I wanted to find out, because you guys heard my thing. You heard Cameron saying, like, okay, signaling and indicating where you're going is probably a important factor. But, like, is there something maybe in your house? Or I know we spoke earlier about shopping, like, you shopping and people, maybe you're in a queue and this guy maybe forgets something and then he keeps the whole queue waiting. Is it not something that you might feel like, geez, this is this specific
thing? May I interject?
Go for it, Cam.
Do you know what, as of late, has been really grinding my gears? Like, not just grind my gears, like grind my gears to within an inch of their life, you know, is my football club.
Let's not start on that, please, bro. Let's not.
No. We have to go. It is something that's grinding his gears, and that's the question you asked.
No, but like, there's a reason why. So, as our viewers may know, I support Liverpool Football Club, and it's that time of year again where, as a football fan, it's almost like Christmas time. You're waiting for a gift from your club. And that gift would be a striker or a midfielder, perhaps. But you know, like, when you know you're getting a gift, so you get excited. But then when you think it's going to be this big present and you come through on Christmas morning, but really it's this tiny little present. And you know at that moment you did not get what you thought you were going to get. And it's that feeling of disappointment that grinds my gears.
How can you be disappointed when you got Konate?
If your parents told you, hey, you're getting a car for your birthday, car of your dreams, right? But then come Christmas morning, you get an old skedonk, or even worse, that car that they said that they were going to get you, but a tiny model one. And it is not a nice feeling at all, Mr. Tubbs. It is not a nice feeling at all. And it genuinely drives my head in.
You know what I was going to say, actually, quickly on this? Because I know Cameron is he enjoys his gym and his exercise and everything. So just the one thing that I thought you would say is people that pick up heavy weights.
Poor form.
Let's not get small integrated. Now, that's fine. Don't mind how you do or how you pick it up. You pick up the weight.
I do.
But then when you put it down, you can't put it down like a normal human being. And I don't even know if you are like this, but you have to throw the weight down. To be like, I just picked up 25 kg. Then I'm like, okay, hold on. I'm not saying I do that. It just infuriates me that people go, and if you can pick up 30 kg, then put it down. If you can pick up 50 kg, put it down. Don't throw it down or drop it because you picked it up. Put it down. I thought you would go on the gym line. I really did. I didn't think you were gonna bring up the teams early.
I hate people not re-racking their weights properly.
Yeah, I was about to say that people that, you know, leave their stuff at the bench. And you want to, I mean, like, they already done their sets, they look like they well, not they look like they already moved to something else, but they leave their stuff there at the bench. And you're like, hello?
Yeah.
But no, actually, going back to what Cameron was saying in regards to his football team, I mean, look, I understand where you came from with the whole analogy with like the car of your dreams and stuff like that. But then that's where, from my point of view, it's like, you know, okay, cool. But then if it's your parents, you got to be grateful for things like that. You can't have like,
listen to Mr. Positive here tonight. Like, doesn't get angry, trying to be better. You got to appreciate everything.
Yeah. How far is Jadon Sancho up your ass?
What's going on? No, not that.
Like I said earlier, I mean, lately I've just been getting frustrated and angry at a lot of things. So I'm just trying to calm down a lot. Again, last season I was very frustrated about the Sancho thing. Finally, he came. Christmas has come. We're hearing about Varane. So, you know, it's happy days of being a United supporter. There's some that are still unsatisfied. But, you know, you have to take the small victories where they come. Meanwhile, what I've heard from watching the Fabrizio Romano live streams on Twitch, that Liverpool are still looking to offload
before... Can I just quickly jump in here? Keanu.
Yeah, sure.
Don't you think Tubbs is a little Fabrizio fanboy?
I'm not a fanboy, but he's the most reliable source.
I understand why.
Every day. Oh, did you guys hear what Fabrizio said today?
I know, that is true.
Well, he said this.
That is true, but I do understand why. I'd like to check
if Tubbs has Fabrizio notifications on.
Oh, that's...
I do, here we go.
Oh, wow, desperate, Tubbs, desperate.
Here we go. No. But no, he's very reliable. He's a reliable source. He gives good information about the sport that we love. So why not listen to what he has to say, you know? But any thoughts about what's been going on in the transfer window as of late?
Smith, well, apparently, new contract today. People or the powers that be within my football club are a bunch of
Henderson
idiots.
Henderson wants to go.
Henderson doesn't want to go.
Well, not Henderson wants to go, but... FSG not exactly looking to renew his contract.
Are you just stirring my tea today? Because it feels like it. Because he does not want to go.
No, I said it isn't him who wants to go. It's FSG who are not renewing his contract. But again, that's FSG why you're here out. To That's why we're here. Like, let's educate each other. Let's educate each other and chat about it. Like, what exactly is happening in the background from Liverpool that I don't know, but you guys are clued up on?
Our owners are cheap.
Teach me, boys.
That's
one way.
We have cheap owners. We have Ed Woodward is within our club. Ed Woodward is within our club.
Yeah, that low-key transfer.
I'm not going to go as negative as Cameron, and I don't want to dwell too long on Liverpool, but...
Look at you being Mr. Positivity.
No, look... Because the thing is, I understand both sides of the story, and it's the first time I can say that I feel from, I don't know if this is so, but just viewing social media, it feels like fans are divided because there's a lot of FSG in and are praising what they've done and what they've achieved. And then there's a lot of people questioning things they've not done, like the Super League, the lack of transfers, lack of money input, having to sell players to buy players. And I think it's been our model for years and years and years. So would it be lovely to assign big name players? For sure. But I just don't think we've been that club, and I don't think we're suddenly going to become the club. So that's why I said it's for me, I'm completely on the fence. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion to one side or another, because I just think that's how it's going to run and that's how it's going to go.
You know, look, completely agree with Keanu there. It's a case of half the glass half empty, glass half full case. I mean, you guys could be in a worse situation like Barcelona is at the moment, where they have to sell players. Because I still believe that they're still trying to re-sign Messi on another 5-year deal, but they're still under the financial stress. Or breaching the financial salary cap of La Liga or something like that. So, I mean, you guys are still in a safe position. It's just, you know, I think like seeing the rest of the league having incomings and outgoings is a bit frustrating. It's understandable. I mean, Arsenal finally getting Smith Rowe a new contract, United getting new deal, new players in, Spurs getting new players in, and then last season Chelsea going on their shopping spree. So it must be, you know, it must be a bit frustrating. I do understand where you both come from. But going back to Barcelona, what do you guys think about their current situation, about all the players that they're looking to offload?
A little bit harsh. I see they're looking at trying to get rid of Pjanic. I wouldn't say he's been given a fair chance at Barca.
I think he's only been there a year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a swap deal with between Barca and Juventus. Yeah, for Artur.
But then, you know, I also question the people Barca are getting in. Aguero isn't that young. You know, giving Messi a 5-year contract, Messi isn't young either.
The thing about Messi is, in my opinion, is that he has that legacy about him. You know, when you think Messi, you don't think Argentinian forward, right? You think Barcelona forward. I think he's built that sort of legacy about him, or, you know, he has that, you know, I don't know, there's something, it's like he's woven himself into the quilt or into the history of the club. I would say, like, you know, he is the club's dynasty or something like that. I don't know. But no, seriously, is there any team or any player that comes into your mind that has the same impact that Messi did on Messi had on Barca? Messi's been there his entire career. If you want to talk about Ronaldo at Real Madrid, he's not there anymore. He's gone.
But I think he.
But then, are you saying that he didn't leave anything behind?
He definitely left plenty behind, but then, like, the fact that he's no longer there, like, if we let's use transfers as an example. If a young player goes to Barca, what pops into his mind? My idol Messi's there. When Ronaldo was still at Madrid, I would say the fact that Ronaldo was there was, you know, one of the highlights for these young players, and then maybe the club history was second.
Yeah, look, I think if you look at players, I think there's been a lot of players that have made major impacts on clubs, and the fans will probably love them forever and idolize them. I'm thinking of Thierry Henry, Gerrard, Ronaldo for Real Madrid. I know you talked him down, but I think that was probably his peak. They won 3 Champions Leagues in a row, if I'm not mistaken. So it's difficult. I think it comes with teams' identities and also the dynasties that form. And if I think about dynasties, I think directly to basketball, about like Chicago Bulls and the Lakers and all those teams that managed to win multiple things back-to-back with certain key players. And now we look at the footballing world, I think there's people that have made major impacts, and then there's people that have been part of a club's identity. I don't know what you guys think about that.
A couple of things. What are the requirements for like a dynasty, you know, and like, you know, what do people feel is, you know, deemed relevant, deemed unrelevant? Because, you know, I can also think about how I look at someone like Gerrard, who I think is one of the hallmarks of a Liverpool football player. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you hear Liverpool, you don't hear Steven Gerrard. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, even when we had him for all those years, it's not like our status necessarily increased, you know. People always will remember the 2005 Champions League final, but wasn't like, oh, look at Gerrard, I want to go and play for Liverpool because of Gerrard. Whereas, like, if you look at the increase in viewership and fan base, if you look at someone like a Ronaldo, you know, he took a lot of fans with him to Madrid from United, and when you have that amount of support, you know, it's kind of hard not to have a dynasty. what I'm trying to say is that it's a very difficult thing to try and put parameters on or kind of, you know, truly identify. Because I think look, it's a lot more intertwined.
I'll use a team in particular, Borussia Dortmund, where they've recently created a club that, look, they a fans club, they're the people's club. As we've seen previously when Bundesliga game price or ticket prices to matches increased, Bayern Munich and Dortmund and all these clubs stood up. But if you look at the identity Dortmund have created for themselves in the last...
A selling club.
Yeah, in the last, what we can say, nearly 10 years, 9 years, they've somehow gotten their hands on top, top talent and they've turned over huge, huge profits on it. And look, if we want to focus on identities of clubs and what makes clubs who they are, I think it's quite interesting to see how various different clubs change their image, or then some stick to a system. But if I just focus on the Dortmund situation, they've sold Dembele for over 100 million. They've got one of the most exciting prospects in the world at the moment as one of their strikers, and I'm sure all of us or football fans will know who I'm speaking about. So how do clubs change the image, or how do they get into the cycle of just selling players and just caring about the financial aspect and kind of losing that drive to win things? Because Dortmund aren't competing against Munich in the Bundesliga.
They became a selling club when they started, you know, selling, offloading a lot of their players to Bayern Munich. Starting off, well, I don't know who was the first, but it was with Mario Götze, it was with Robert Lewandowski, it was with...
There was plenty of...
Mats Hummels. I know Mats Hummels and Götze came back, but still, you know, they had really one of the strongest teams in the Bundesliga at the stage, at one stage. And, you know, instead of capitalizing on that and pushing further to get... to get more trophies and whatnot, they kind of went into this direction where they became a selling club with this identity of a selling club. It then happened with Aubameyang, happened with Mkhitaryan. You know, the only player that you can really think that has stuck through a lot, has stayed there for so long, is Marco Reus. But, you know, for example, now with the fact that they have Haaland, they should now, if they really want to get out of the selling mentality, getting rid of the selling image, they need to put their foot down on Haaland and say, "No, we're not budging on this." You know what I mean?
There's a second side to that as well, Tubbs.
Yeah.
Because you can't put your foot down and say, "We're not budging on Haaland," because you're not going to bear the fruits of him being such a great player if your squad can't live up to the standard that he has, you know. Because he's going to want to win trophies, he's going to want to be the best, and if you don't necessarily have a squad or players that can be the best, then, you know, it's going to be very difficult to put your foot down in that regard, because you're almost going to look like a hypocrite or an idiot, you know.
I think that also it goes back to the case of, like, back, I think it was 2012, no, I'm definitely mistaken about the year, but let's go to Robin van Persie leaving Arsenal to United. I think that's what you're talking about, you know. The rest of the team had no intent to win the Premier League, and that was Van Persie's biggest goal. So he went to a team that had the capabilities.
But it wasn't only that. It was also the fact that Arsenal didn't offer him a new contract.
Yeah, he came out on Sky, wasn't it, in an interview?
Yeah.
He came out and they were...
And he identified it as, like, an actual divorce.
Hmm. He didn't. He wanted to leave, but it wasn't like it was in his desire to leave.
They gave him a contract, he would have stayed. But then again, you have to ask yourself about a club's mentality, because you can look at someone like a Dortmund. You know, do they risk fans not paying an extra €5 for a game compared to, you know, like I said, dropping the price of a ticket so that you have more money to spend so that you can win more? Do you know what I mean? So it's a very slippery slope that, you know, once you're in that, you know, mindset, it sometimes I think can be difficult, because then that's how other clubs view you as, you know. It's always someone planning to transfer to a Barca, a Real, you know, United, a City. Not like, you know, oh, they want to go from Madrid to, you know, anyone else. Most players only leave big clubs because they're out of a contract or some new hotshot has taken their place, if you know what I'm saying. So once a club has also formed a face or a mentality, I think it sometimes can also be difficult to break that train of thought.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I can use United here as an example. You know, I think it has improved, but that there was that gap from when Sir Alex Ferguson left up until, you know, last season, there was this whole loss of identity, you could almost say, because I think the fact that Sir Alex was there for so long, he built this team from scratch, from, you know, having the class of 92, and, you know, just continuously winning and winning and winning. I believe that's also one of the, what I'm trying to say here is, then would you consider the fact that should the modern football club no longer try and build a identity around players and managers, and rather around achievements?
Oof.
Like, the United struggled after Ferguson retired.
Still struggling.
Well, let's say that the boat has steadied in the waves. Arsenal are still, you know, the boat is still shaking about. It is starting to, you can see that it's starting to settle a little bit, but it's still, you know, since Arsene Wenger left, they're still also reeling a bit.
Look, it's a difficult thing you've brought up here, because if I think of really dominating dynasty teams, I think you got to think of the United team, like early or late, not late 2000, like 2007 onwards. When did you guys win the Champions League?
2008.
So let's say from that period, or just before that period, they really became a team that you feared. I saw multiple quotes coming out during that time and still today that you already lost before you even entered Old Trafford, just because of the fear factor, and you know who you're coming up against. And I think that's the image that they've created for themselves, and it's because of what they were able to do on the field. And I think, look, I think financial gains and stuff really exploded in the last, let's say, 5 to 6 years. Because I think if you look at transfer sums, if you look at broadcasting deals, it's tripled, multiplied by 4, 5, 6, whatever it has. And that's maybe why, like, teams have changed, maybe like the Dortmund, like we mentioned, because they're more chasing the revenue than actually chasing the accolades. Because if you look at the United team, they were winning, they instilled that fear into a team before they entered, is because of the identity they had. And you would bring in semi-decent players, or Sir Alex Ferguson at that time would bring in players that I wouldn't say is the greatest signings, but you know what, you'd make them 20 times, 30 times better than what they actually are or what they ever were. And they might leave United, and often those players were flops. So how can you base, as you're saying, is it based on achievements and what you achieve on the field, or is it how it's run behind the scenes? I don't know, it's a very in-depth question.
I think it's a bit of both. Because if you look at City 10, 15 years ago, no one really knew who City was.
A little who team.
And you know, through money and performance and you know, getting big name players, they've been able to cement themselves as a real threat. You know, I get nervous when it comes to play City, You know, you can just feel like they have something, you know. But I do also think that, you know, that it comes from both, from both perspectives, not just one.
It's definitely a tough one. It's really difficult to really touch on it, because then, like I mentioned now with managers, Arsene Wenger, Pep Guardiola when he was still at Barca, Alex Ferguson when he was still with United, then you get players like Ronaldo, and then you have these players with these, like a player that pops to my mind that has a larger than life legacy, bigger than any club that he's gone to, is Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Oh, I think that's a difficult one. Again, I think he's more of an impact player. I don't think he's got a legacy at too many clubs, because he's just jumped clubs and that's who he is and is who he's always will be. And I think he's a great, great player. Just because, like, which I think he's in the impact zone. I wouldn't say he's a legacy player. You're not gonna build a dynasty around him. But I'm gonna kind of stay on the same topic, but it's an interesting thing I would like to bring up, because we've seen like the shift in football in terms of where the brilliant teams are. Because if we count 10 years ago, I don't think there was, might be plus minus 10 years, there wasn't one footballer in the World 11. Not one footballer from the Premier League in the World 11, where the whole World 11 consisted of La Liga players. And if you look at things now, we've got a fair balance, more players from the Prem, or probably in the World 11 than the other leagues. And I feel with La Liga losing a major star like Ronaldo, it's obviously lost, I wouldn't say it's lost quality, I think that's a bit unfair to say, but it's just their teams aren't dominating the big things like the Champions League. We just saw a Champions League once again with two English teams in. A few years ago, we saw a Champions League again with two English teams in. It was Tottenham, Liverpool. This year it was Chelsea, Man City. And it feels like there's been a change in world football where the players do want to come play in the Prem, and like dynasty teams are forming, the likes of Man City winning the Prem multiple times, Champions League finalists, Liverpool competing, Champions League, Premier League. There's a healthy quality football being played in England now, and it's just strange how things have changed from La Liga to Prem. And in previous years, the Serie A was stacked, with AC Milan being the dominating team there, winning Champions League, losing in the final. They were the team to be in. So it's I don't know if you guys have something to say. It's not, it's just an interesting topic, how world football changes from country to country, and dynasty teams, just kind of every country has its own, but for a European dominating dynasty, you don't get that too often.
I think it's all linked to money, to be very honest with you, because I think the better you become, the more money you spend, the more it entices other people to go there. And that way, I think when you have the best going there, I think then, you know, you're naturally going to form those dynasties and those mentalities within, you know, that league or that team. So there's also that side. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, would you say that AC Milan has a dynasty?
Well, they have a history, but I wouldn't say.
Yeah, but so we know their rich history. I mean, they last won the Champions League in 2006, you know, and we look at United and we say, oh, they have a legacy. Ferguson has a legacy and whatnot. But you guys last won the Champions League in 2008. So how long does this legacy stay with you? I mean, like, there's other teams that Arsenal haven't won the Champions League before.
No, they haven't.
Even though United haven't won, like, let me say with example with United, even though they haven't won the Champions League in so long, or the Premier League in so long, I think they've instilled the whole this not a, a they've instilled the whole fact of using the youth players, of using a lot of players from the academy. So I think that's one thing that United have, you know, created for themselves. You know, not this reliance on you know, buying players from everywhere in the world, but rather having homegrown talent. I think that's something that, you know, what they have created for themselves in terms of a legacy, or not exactly a legacy, but also that's their identity in a sense.
All right.
But no, I think it's important for these teams to be able to, you know, create something about themselves that, you know, makes them not only attractive to potential new incoming players, but also, like, you know, to fans and whatnot, you know.
Yeah, it's still very interesting how the football world kind of just, it slowly moves from one part. Like, we can even look at internationals, where the Spanish national team was kind of in the same period with La Liga, when Barcelona was so lovely to watch. From the 2008 Euros, 2010, Spain won the World Cup, 2012, Spain won Euros again. And that whole football was like Spanish orientated, Barcelona, Pep Guardiola focused. And then all of a sudden,
tiki-taka.
Brilliant tiki-taka football. All of a sudden, it changed. Then Germany was the big boys. Bayern Munich were hitting high. Germany go and win the World Cup in 2014. And then, you know what I mean? Now, I wouldn't say the French league was great for France winning the World Cup, but if you look at their players, they spread throughout Europe. So they were, I think they had a good balance. But it just shows, like, how football moves country to country. People dominate, people lose out. But yeah, I guess that's how football works these days.
I think in closing now, you know, with the recent information that I received today, with Pedri, for example, being out of contract next year, he can sign a pre-agreement by January. Keanu, would you say it's time for a certain FSG to get in motion for a certain
look,
Pedri?
Look, I didn't want to focus on Liverpool, but I think it's so close to heart that it's easy to discuss them. As I mentioned earlier briefly when you asked us about Liverpool, I think we're speaking about identity now, and I think if we think way back, we were in a struggling stage. I think we've gotten a manager which makes average players better, and that's probably the main reason why we've been successful. And I think FSG, we love them, we hate them, but I think they're not going to change the identity. I think Liverpool are not a club like, although I like to believe we are on the same platform or pedestal than United, because I think we are, but Man United will easily go and spend 80 million and buy Jadon Sancho. Again, we had to get rid of people to fund signings, and if we do sign people from FSG's pocket, they don't normally exceed the 40 million range. So I've just come accustomed to it that they will do things on their way. We're not a selling club anymore, but we're also not number one on the market spending dosh.
A buying club either.
Because if I look at the likes of Man City, Chelsea, United, I wouldn't say we can't compete financially, but I just think that it's not our identity.
Yeah, you guys have that tradition.
It's just, look, if you just talk about Pedri, I don't think they'll sign him. I think Barcelona will tie him down to a long-term contract. He'll be paid fair. I saw he's playing at the Olympics. And I think there's other targets we need to focus on that are either free next year or for reasonable prices. And I'm hoping in my heart that we can make some good decisions.
I think it's just, I was reading today that apparently, you know, we also need to remember that there are some people out there that create these social media accounts that create rumors just because they love creating rumors. So with some of our transfer activity, let's just hope that they are nothing but rumors.
Yeah, we're not experts on transfers. We just react to the news. and so far it seems to be an interesting summer. But Keanu, you mentioned the Olympics there. Have any of you guys seen some of the matches that have been played? Or since I think tomorrow is the official opening, the date of recording today is the 22nd of July.
I mean, I saw a little bit of Mexico-France, but it was 2-0 to Mexico when I was watching.
Mexico ended up winning 4-1. South Africa lost to Japan.
Jeepers.
Hey, 1-0, but the fact that they didn't lose to a much bigger margin.
Dude, that's rough. You should have at least get a draw against Japan, because I can't see them beating Mexico or France.
But Japan went to the previous World Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Russia?
No, but we can't. We will never. I don't know if we'll ever get there again. We need a hoster to play in it, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe we'll make it to the one after Qatar, because the one in Mexico and the States, because I think that's going up to 96 teams. Sorry.
I kept tabs on some other matches as well. Brazil played today. I don't exactly remember. Against Germany, they won 4-2, and Richarlison looked fantastic,
nice.
Netting himself a hat trick in the first 30 minutes. But other than football, I think I'm going to be keeping an eye on fencing, maybe some field events as well, and maybe some swimming here and there. And you guys, any sports in particular you'll be keeping an eye on during the Olympics?
For me personally, look, I love a little bit of ping pong. A little bit of table tennis always gets me excited. I will be watching hockey or field hockey. I'll be watching table tennis, as I mentioned, definitely some sprints. And I think I know Cameron enjoys some weightlifting, so I might just have an eye on that. And then also, or deadlifting, I don't know what it is. And then also, definitely some boxing. Boxing is always entertaining to watch. That I'm excited for the Olympics. More sports are not televisions. So you can't always complain. It's a dry football season ahead, or month or so. So at least there's something to watch in the time. Cameron, what are you getting eyes on?
Pretty much everything. I also enjoy some of the field events, like hammer throws, shot put, javelin, high jump. They're quite fun, even long jump. So yeah, definitely the boxing. Maybe even some of the wrestling. I think that would be quite interesting.
Tell me, guys, quickly, while we're on the Olympics, will there be sevens rugby? Or rugby? I don't know. What do they jam? Sevens?
Yes, sevens, yeah, there will be.
Definitely. They love the rugby there in Japan.
They do, actually.
Yeah. So hopefully South Africa will do well. I think we got the bronze at the previous Olympics.
Did we? Haven't we won it?
We won at the Olympics before that, in London. Because remember, the previous Olympics was in Brazil, I think.
Yeah, Rio, you're right, you're correct. Let's focus quickly, just for the last few seconds, just the states of Arsenal and Tottenham at the moment. Because Tab sent us a message on our group, just a guy just going in on Tottenham, saying that they've got their ninth choice manager, players don't want to sign for Tottenham, Harry Kane wants out, and then Arsenal are just, so gosh, they just... They're trying to be positive for them, but damn.
Special. They're special. About Spurs, they're definitely, like, based off going on our previous discussion of, you know, dynasties or legacies, Spurs are trying to rebuild their own, which, by all means, good luck to them. It's off to a rocky start, but maybe Nuno Mendes can do something about it.
Yeah, well, you know, when it comes to the Arsenal and Tottenham debacle, I think that they also need to be very careful, because same with like Liverpool, if you don't win anything, or if you don't, you know, announce yourselves as like a top four team, it can become very hard to keep that kind of status, that hype about your club. I mean, Harry Kane isn't coming back, I don't think, to Tottenham. I think he's gone. You know, Gareth Bale isn't coming back. So, you know, you need to ask yourself, why do some of the best players in the world not want to be at my club? When it comes to Arsenal, I think they have big problems with the board, and so we'll have to see what happens. But I think those are two teams that need to be very careful, because I think their status is currently under threat with the likes of Leicester knocking on the door continuously.
I just feel like they missed the trick when they managed to get into the Champions League final. Like, they've got, when was it when Leicester won the league, they ended second, and they've always been in and about top four. This year with Mourinho, they were first for a couple of weeks, I think maybe even a month or so, and they didn't look bad. They thrashed Man United at home. They weren't as high catching, but thinking of a club getting into a Champions League final, then basically falling off completely, it doesn't happen that often. And to see Tottenham, who I thought was really doing something big, they moved stadiums, I would say they were acquiring more fans. It was entertaining to watch Kane, Son, Lucas, Moura at times. And now to see from Champions League finalist a couple of years ago to being a banter team. Kane wants out. You get a manager that you didn't really want. Where to from here? I think if you're an Arsenal or Tottenham fan, I think you maybe Arsenal, hopefully they can do a few good things this season. But Tottenham, I can't see. I think Nuno will do good for them, I hope. But like, if you're looking on face value, can't see it going well, bro. I'm afraid for them.
I just think that each club has a certain mandate. Each club has a culture. Each club has, you know, certain ambitions. But I think what sometimes is difficult to understand is that money is important, and sometimes you need money to support the culture you want.
John, the thing is just on that. But I think it took, even for me as a fan, it took a big realization to what it means and what it needs to be a champion. A championship winning team is not just another team. It's actually, you need to be the best of the best. And I think that's what all, like, Tottenham, Arsenal fans, Man United at the time, or still, they always there, they're competing, but they're just not good enough to be champions. Look, the season, it's open. I'm looking forward to what happens. But it just, Cameron said about culture and identity, it's just what it takes throughout, from top to bottom, from the person letting you in at training to the captain of the team or the head FSG at Liverpool. It takes all of those people just to be the best, to get the best. And I think that's what other people or fans don't understand always until you realize it.
I think, yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. It goes back to that high risk, high reward. You need someone who's going to come in and who's going to, again, run the lottery with putting millions, if not billions, of pounds into a club, you know.
But yeah, chaps, that wraps up a lovely just chatter more than anything. It was enjoyable. I think football isn't on TV, so it was good to pull out the archives and revisit current state and old state of football. And with that, to all our listeners, please give our previous episodes a listen on whatever platform you would like to find it on. May it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anything you can listen to. And please share it to your family and friends if you've enjoyed it. As I said, this episode was more just chatter about a football situation and just some current daily events. Hope you guys enjoyed. Please catch us again. Peace out.
Cheerio.
Peace.